Okay. Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. This is my first time doing something like this, so forgive my awkwardness. My name is Sister Sheila. Most of you know me, and I currently I'm president of Sacred Heart Academy Girls High School in Hamden, Connecticut. We have currently 500 girls, grades 9 through 12. And I don't pretend to be an expert on Mother Clelia. I think this presentation tonight is something that really has grown out of my lifetime as an apostle, growing in my love and appreciation for Mother Clelia, beginning when I was a young sister. So I'll give you a little bit more of that in my presentation. I thought that I would use my growth and my understanding of Mother Clelia as the backdrop for my presentation. So how about if we begin as we begin all things in God's name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you for gathering us here this evening. Thank you for the countless ways you bless our lives every day. We pray for all those who may be in special need of our prayers. We pray for all those we minister to as apostles. I pray in a special way for all who are with us this evening. Let us be open to the Spirit working within us and among us, and let us do all that we do for your greater honor and glory. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in you. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I believe in your love for me. Sacred Heart of Blessed Clelia, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So when Sister Angela asked me to do this presentation, of all the things I guess she could ask me to do, this is actually the one I'm most comfortable with. I've spent my life, my ministry in education, and really have evolved in my understanding and appreciation of Clelia. And I thought one of her quotes, this quote that's up on the first slide, really sums up for me what education means to Clelia. You know, I think truly for Clelia, as she says in this lovely quote, that for her, education was truly a labor of love. So I thought what I would do this evening is, this is just kind of a simple outline. I would first talk a very little bit about Clelia in case some of us aren't as familiar with us with her as most of us are. Talk a little bit about charism. Talk about early history of charism in the apostles in the context of my life. I entered in 1971. And then I'm going to talk about my two missions in my early time, my younger days as an apostle. First at Sacred Heart Private School in the Bronx, a school that we used to run and owned. And then I was transferred to Creazo Academy, our high school in St. Louis. And talk a little bit about those and how that has affected my understanding of Clelia and her charism. And then just a little bit about, not a little bit about, but the really the bulk of this comes from Clelia's writings and what she writes about education and the things, her expectations for her sisters. You know, as we most of us know, Clelia's writings are all in Italian, and I'm not fluent, anywhere near fluent in Italian. So I had to rely on translations of her words, which I'm so grateful for. But because of that, I don't consider myself an expert, just someone who's passionate about sharing Clelia's charism. So just a little bit about Clelia, born March 10th in 1861 in Forlì, Italy. As we all know, she's the founders of our congregation, the Apostles of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and she truly felt that God was calling her to share his love. Now, that was manifested itself in many different ways throughout her young life until ultimately she founded our congregation. In my mind, she was a woman of great compassion, very caring, very loving, very hospitable, had a difficult life. And I think because of that, for me, it makes it even easier for me to relate to her. Her life was far from perfect, had a lot of personal pain from family things, and yet was able to stay faithful to her call And certainly the Sacred Heart was with her all throughout her life. And for her ministry, she basically served wherever there was a need. Unlike some founders and foundresses, you know, that started communities, Jean Baptiste de La Salle started the Christian Brothers, and they were basically established to minister in education. But clearly, however, as we all know, just felt that she would go wherever the need was. So what is charism? Charism, I think, for me, is something that I really grew in my understanding of it. And as this evolves, I think you'll see how my experiences led to a better understanding of it. And, you know, this is just a quote from McBrien, and it says, he says that each religious congregation is established with the intent of answering a need in the church. This is done in the context of the unique gift of the Spirit given to the founder or foundress of the congregation. This unique gift is called a charism. A charism is given to the founder or the foundress of a religious congregation to be shared with the people they serve. So in my mind, charism is something that responds to a need. You know, my understanding of it after reading a lot about it, it is that it's given to a specific person because there's a specific need in the church. So in the context of Clelia, you know, at that time in history, the Lord felt there was a need for people to better understand devotion to the Sacred Heart. So she was called to found this congregation. And in the context of that, she felt called to share God's love the way she ministered to her people in that congregation. So in that sense, you know, it's almost like a spirit or something that is the foundation for all of the works that we do as apostles and for every religious congregation. So each congregation has their own charism, their own spirit, their own kind of spin on their ministry or what God is calling them to do. You know, the Franciscans are very much in tune with the earth and sharing poverty and nature and animals. So for us as apostles, we're called, and Clelia was called, to share God's love. So just a little bit about my history in relationship to the apostles. So I attended Sacred Heart Academy, had the privilege to do that, and I graduated in 1971 and entered the community after I graduated. That was kind of what you did in those days. But in those days, in the early time when I entered in, you know, the congregation hadn't really been around for that long. We were still in our early stages of understanding Clelia's charism. At that time, we didn't have words to remember, you know, some of those primitive documents that we use now. The only thing we had was someone someplace had a document that they had gotten from Rome. Our general, I'm sure, at the time was Mother Rosalia. And since she was an American, sent it to us. Our provincial at the time was Sister Anita Marie. And so we had this document and information when I was a postulant, especially when I was a novice. One of our jobs was to retype this document, this life of Mother Clelia. And I've told many people this story. I was a terrible typist. So I would say, you know, to the sisters in my group, look, I'll do your charge if you do my typing, you know. And in those days, we had, you know, mimeograph machines. So when you typed on the front page, it, you know, it was attached to like a mimeo, they called it, on the back, which would give you the ink, and then you ran it off on a machine. So it was so simple, you know, and very primitive compared to what we have today. So that's really all we had, was this biography. And we weren't even really sure that everything in the biography was true. But the good thing about it was it gave us a general understanding of who she was. So when I, you know, I just come from Sacred Heart Academy, we didn't have Mother Clelia's pictures all around the building. We didn't talk that much about her. We had Clelian Hall that I knew was named in her honor. Our yearbook at Sacred Heart Academy is called the Clelian. So I knew those little snippets, but not really too much. And her writings were difficult at the time. You know, she would say, you know, be humble, treat yourself like a dish rag, you know, and those weren't really the easiest things to relate to. But the one thing I knew was that she wanted us to share and spread devotion to the Sacred Heart. So that was very clear in my mind. You know, as apostles, we wanted to share this devotion. And I wasn't really sure exactly all of what that meant. But, you know, in formation, we began to learn more about it. And then eventually, my understanding of the charism deepened to better understand what that meant. So my first mission was ministry was at Sacred Heart Private School in the Bronx, where Ashley is now at the Universal Pre-K. As we all know, that school was named in honor of the Sacred Heart. So it was owned by the apostles. And my principal was... Well, the first year was Sister Joanne. The second year was Sister Anita Marie Giampetro, who had the distinction of beginning Coriezo Academy and also had just finished her term as our provincial and now was coming to be principal of Sacred Heart Private. And one thing about Sister Anita Marie, she was very adamant about devotion to the Sacred Heart. And, you know, they used to send a lot of young sisters there. To her, I was one of them. Sister Veronica Beato was there with me, Sister Geraldine Unihan, Sister Doretta Del Barro. We were all there kind of at the same time. And she used to say to us all the time, do people know that you're dedicated to the Sacred Heart? You know, how are you spreading devotion to the Sacred Heart? And I don't think we really understood it that much, but we knew we had statues in the school and we had First Friday Mass. And that was important to us, you know. And I had the example of being at Sacred Heart Academy. So we had the enthronement like we did at Sacred Heart. So, you know, we thought we were doing a pretty good job with this. But at that time, when I look back, I think I probably still just understood the practices of the charism more than really what the charism was. So from there, I was transferred after 8 years to Coriezo Academy, and another school obviously owned and operated by the apostles. And during that time, after I was there for 4 years, I started going to school for administration. Sister Rita Mary was our principal, and I had become the assistant principal, and she said, you know, it's time for you to maybe go get some courses in administration. So I did. And I'm so grateful I did. I was in St. Louis because St. Louis, as we all know, is a very Catholic city. And at that time, when I was there, had 30 Catholic high schools. And so I was going to St. Louis University, and I was in contact not only with public school folks, which I really appreciated, but also some of the Catholic schools had teachers and administrators who were also taking courses there. And I'm sorry, I think I went ahead here. I didn't realize. Sorry. See, I don't know how to go backwards. How do you go backwards, Angela? Well, here's my move to Coriezo. Okay. So I would hear, like, I remember one day very distinctly hearing one of my colleagues who was in the class with me, I forget what the class was, and he was from Christian Brothers High School. Christian Brothers was run by the De La Salian Christian Brothers, and he talked about the De La Salian philosophy of education at CBC, and he was very confident talking about it. They had certain foundational practices, you know, and I'm thinking, we don't have anything like that, you know, at Coriezo or at Sacred Heart Academy or Sacred Heart Private. Those were the three schools at the time that we owned, you know, and I began to think about that, you know, why don't we have something like that? And I think it kind of piqued my interest. And then going back to Sister Anita Marie, always drumming into us about spreading Sacred Heart devotion, I became very curious about this and wondering, you know, what is like an apostle philosophy of education, you know? So that really, I think, is where that seed now was beginning to deepen and beginning to grow. So finally, I think that this became like an aha moment for me when it all came together. And I think I find, because we started using the word charism, we didn't use it a lot when I was in formation. And we never used it when I was in high school. And then all of a sudden, it started little by little come together in my head. And also by listening to like the Marist Teta High School in St. Louis, and they have their philosophy of education. The Jesuits, of course, they have two schools in St. Louis. They have their philosophy. So I was beginning to realize that we do have a philosophy of education as apostles. We just don't name it. And the more I thought about it, it finally clicked that that was our charism. You know, our charism is what our philosophy is based on. We just maybe didn't call it a philosophy of education, but truly our charism is what made Sacred Heart Academy what it was. It's what made Sacred Heart Private School what it was. It's what it made what Cor Jesu Academy what it was. So let me talk a little bit about Clelius' charism. You know, I found this quote. I've done many papers on this, and that's why I have all these quotes at my fingertips, thank goodness. But I found this quote one time when I was doing a project, and it really, I think, sets the stage to me for what charism is all about. And it's from the Steele and Peterson, and they write a lot about school culture. And it says, I'm just having a little trouble because your pictures are on top of my quote. okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. So this quote says, each school has its own character or feel. You can sense it as you approach the building. You can almost smell and taste it as you walk through the doors. You can see it in the pictures on the walls and the students in the halls. You can hear it in interchanges between students and teachers in the classroom and in students' talk with one another on the playgrounds. So, you know, this to me is help me to better understand this concept, what charism really is, you know, and it helps define that charism is the thing that makes every school unique. So when I would go to different high schools in St. Louis, you would feel the difference of that between them. They're all great schools, you know, but they all have different emphasis on different things. And that to me is what charism is all about, you know? And it's what gives every school a unique flavor, and it's what makes every school different, and it's also what students can relate to after they leave that school. So when I looked at Clelius' writings, I found five things, and I mean, this is nothing set in stone, this is nothing that's, you know, published or formal, but I was able to find a lot of this in Mother and Teacher. It's a wonderful book. And in that book, they talk about clearly having five components of education. And I like to call it inner educational charism. First, she talks about the aim of apostle school. Then she talks about the different types of schools. She talks about the role of the teacher, the role of the principal, and then finally what I like to call her philosophy of education, although she doesn't formally use that term. But when she talks about the aim of an apostle school, when I look back to my own experience, I could see that it was lived out there, and hopefully we continue to live it out here every day, and I know at Cor Jesu they're doing the same, I'm sure, in the nursery in the Bronx, you know, it's a little bit different because it's not a K through 8 school, but in their own little way with the pre-K kids, they do this. So to Clelia, the most important thing to her was to spread the gospel message. You know, she felt like that was the reason why we started Catholic schools, because we not only wanted to educate the students, but we also wanted to help students imitate the life of Christ and to witness to his life with their lives, you know, and particular to her, of course, would be to make the Sacred Heart known and loved by all. She believed education was a labor of love, as we talked about before, and she really believed that it included the development of the whole person, you know, and I thought that was kind of ironic, because that truly is the foundation of Catholic education today, the education of the whole person. It's the philosophy of all of our schools, but it's also the foundation of all Catholic schools. And so she was truly a woman ahead of her time, you know? So although education was important to Clelia, and it was truly important, I'll say a little bit more about the courses per se, what she really thought was the most important part was the student soul. And not only that, She looked at each student as an individual, and she looked at them with unique needs, you know. And when I look back to my experience as a student in a sacred at Sacred Heart Academy, I can truly say that's how I was treated. And this is one of her quotes when she talks about that. An apostle educator should ask Jesus for the necessary light to be able to discern the character and needs of each student and to proceed accordingly. You know, I thought that was interesting, how important it was to her that each student be treated individually. You know, we talk about individualized instruction. You know, this is almost like individualized concern for their souls and what their personal needs were. They should not be too concerned, the teachers, about their success on exams and the good impression that makes, but should rather have the genuine good of their souls at heart. The apostle, and I put educator, I inserted that, should lead them to unconstrained and solid virtue, free of scruple and capable of sacrifices, that virtue which no one can take exception to. And that's taken from her words to remember. You know, and from that, I think it just tells us once again that Clelia felt that working with a student's souls was so important. And also, she wanted to help them to live a good life, you know, because not only did they need to have the academic education, but they also needed to know how they could be successful in life by living a good life and by being a good example to those around them. But then she goes on to talk about the different types of schools. And she, in her writing, says that there's no particular school that she emphasizes. But she just thought it was really important that education be made available to all students, particularly the poor students. And she felt that, you know, for the poor kids, she knew that this would be the opportunity for them to learn about God too. You know, so once again, she was concerned about their souls. That was so important to her. Yes, about education, and she talks more about that. I'll say more as we go on. But particularly the poor children, do for them. But for Clelia, that was really kind of a focus for her. And she also saw it as a place of safety for poor kids. You know, the world was probably a little bit different in Italy at the time, and felt that this would kind of be a safe, Catholic schools would be a safe haven for them. And then she has this quote about that taken from her manuscripts. Scripture proclaims him to us and as a divine teacher. Jesus accepted all kinds of people into his schools, the ignorant, the unruly, the coarse, the ungrateful, and the corrupt. And he especially cherished the children of the common people. He delighted in being among children, blessing them and threatening them, anathema, which is a curse, to those who would deem to rob them of their innocence. You know, so once again, I think in her writings, we see that she was open to accepting all students, not just the smart kids, you know, not just the rich kids who could afford to go to the school, but she wanted this to be open to any students, particularly, as I said before, the poor students. And also, it's clear from her writings that she loved being around children. And she talks in her writings about the role of the teacher. So she says that education is based on the Christian concept of the human person. And, you know, we all know the Christian concept of the human person is that we are all unique and we are all made in the image and likeness of God. And because of that, we all have special gifts and talents. So she believed in education of the whole person. Once again, it's written right into our philosophy in our school here. I know it's in Ecclesia and probably every Catholic school that she believed in education of the body, mind, and spirit, or mind, heart, and soul. And she felt, as I said before, it should be individualized according to the unique needs of each person. And to her, it was important that they were helped to develop a deep faith beyond the outward practices, you know. So it wasn't just saying the rosary or going to mass, but helping them really to deepen their spirituality, even, you know, at a young age. We all know how some children can be very, very deep spiritually. And I think she saw that and saw that as the role of the teacher to help these children, these gifts, these treasures in front of us to really be nurtured in the image and likeness of God, and also to be help them to grow in their love and appreciation for God. And then we have another quote from her, which says, and this is taken from Mother Rosalia, who was our general for many years. Teachers should learn in the school of, I'm sorry, this is taken from Clelia's writings, but it was also referred to by Mother Rosalia Sasso. Teachers should learn in the school of Jesus more than in books of human society the way to fulfill such a delicate and important mission. She should learn what methods to use in order to prepare today's little ones to become a generation of loyal and generous souls, faithful Christians ready to battle for the shared cause, ready to defend the rights of the Catholic religion, and to increase the influence of our faith by the practice of virtue. So, I mean, when you think about it, she felt that this was truly almost an ominous task for a teacher, something that was so important and so serious that we take this on as teachers, that we really wanted our students to really deepen their faith and practice their virtues so that they can go on to become better Christians, and also be able to turn to their faith in time of need, and also to share that faith with those around them. And then another quote from her directory manuscript. The apostles should consider that when a child passes, I love this quote, from his mother's knees to the classroom desk, he or she has a heart that is pure and sensitive to any impression. It is up to her to mold it, so to speak, so as to make it capable of that heroic virtue that can overcome any obstacle imposed by nature or any temptation that could impede the perfection and eternal salvation of the soul. So, you know, that was always first and foremost in her mind, to really help those young people in front of her to develop their soul. And, you know, when you think about it, when a child comes from his mother's knees to the classroom, you know, what the mother is turning over, you know, their most precious thing. And what an awesome responsibility it is as a teacher, you know, and as Clelia reminds us. So then it's our role then to take on that heroic virtue, that to help those students to really deepen their spirituality so that they'll have the tools they need to overcome any temptation. And then, you know, from her writings, I was able to, just in my own words, figure out or kind of come to an idea of what her philosophy of education might be if we were to ask her. In all that Clelia wrote on education, love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus was exemplified in her love for his children. Clelia instructed her sisters that they must love their students unconditionally as Christians, as Christ loves us, and how important it is that teachers have a relationship with God so that they have support in their times of trial. And in she also thought teaching was a great responsibility, and a teacher had to answer to God for those in her care. So, you know, when you think about it, Clelia realized that a teacher could not be effective in helping these young children to grow deeply spiritually and in their love and appreciation of God if they themselves didn't have it first. You know, so as apostles, how important it is for us, and as Christians, to deepen our own spirituality so that when we're teaching in a Catholic school, we have something to turn to and we're able to share with our students the depths of our spiritual relationship. And also, you know, she emphasizes what a responsibility it is. Now we have to answer to God for those in our care, you know, so it's something that we can't take lightly. And then we have a few more quotes from her that I think talk about her, what she writes about education. Sorry, I have to read these, but the pictures are covering the end of the quote. The sister should love all her pupils without distinction for the love of Jesus. She should direct her love especially to the most unfortunate. She should not adapt too mild a system of discipline. I love that. Charity and kindness doesn't imply weakness. for this could be fatal. Let her be an affectionate mother, but an enlightened and strong one. You know, so I think sometimes, and I know I feel that this way sometimes, I just had a discussion with my faculty here about this, and I'll talk a little bit about discipline afterwards. But I think sometimes people think that if we're compassionate and caring, that it's a sign of weakness, that we should be hard and we should be non-negotiable and we should be black and white, you know? And, you know, I just said to my faculty the other day, I learned from Sister Nina Marie, as I referred to earlier, you know, the best way to deal with those who are maybe the most challenging is to deal with them with love. You know, to be loving and caring sometimes is a lot more disarming than trying to be tough. And Sister Nina Marie used to say to us, as tough as you think you can be, you know, the ones you're dealing with can be tougher. So it should not be a battle of toughness, you know. But as Clelia tells us, you know, to be an affectionate mother, but be enlightened, you know, so you know what you're doing, and also to be strong. And I think that comes across so much more than being reactionary in situations that sometimes can be challenging. We've all been through challenging situations. And believe me, students can be very challenging. And it's not always easy to be loving and caring, you know. But I think it's the harder thing is to be loving and caring. The easier thing is just to react instead of responding to them. And I think that's what Clelia is trying to tell us here. In her directory, she tells us, let her, the teacher, be continuously vigilant over the students, but with tact and gentle skill, in order that they always feel the gaze of their teacher upon them, not like that of an examining judge, I love this, but like that of God, calm, affectionate, impartial, encouraging the naturally good, checking those who are not so, loving toward all. You know, and I think that's the idea that if as apostle educators, which I like to call us, it's so important that the love of Christ is so much a part of us, so that that is what overflows into our students on the good days and even on the most challenging days, you know, to be calm, affectionate, and impartial, and to check those who are not so naturally good, but to be loving towards all. So in conclusion, and then I'll talk a little bit about practicalities. You know, the ministry of a teacher in the context of Clelia's writings, I think, is a tremendous responsibility. You know, we all have to answer to God for those in our care. And as she reminds us, we all must have a relationship with God first and foremost before we can be effective. We can't give what we don't have. And, you know, the ultimate goal of an apostle educator is the spiritual development of the students, but probably first and foremost, our own spiritual development. And, you know, I think it doesn't even have to be just in the context of religion class, but just the way we relate to our students every single day says so much about who we are and the depth of our own spirituality. So now I have a few more quotes, and then I'll talk a little bit about a practical application. A few more quotes from Mother Clelia. She, the teacher, should begin her mission with unlimited trust in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. She should every day and every hour draw light, comfort, and assistance from him to carry out her duties. She should consult him, God, when she is faced with certain difficulties and when she feels weak and her work seems futile to her. That's taken from her directory manuscript. And then another one from her manuscript. It's evident that the future of the world lies in the hands of its master and teacher. Thus, it would not be an exaggeration to affirm that the future victories and agonies of our Holy Mother Clelia depend on the zeal with which teachers prepare new generations of sons, defenders, or unfortunate souls who, lacking the solid foundation of faith and virtue, will fall into error and apostasy. You know, so I think it just once again reiterates how important it is for us as teachers to really be faithful to God, to be faithful to our faith, and to have a really solid foundation so that we can pass that on to those who are in our care. Now, living the charism today, and I think, you know, this from my this is my personal experience, but having had the privilege of being a student in an apostle school, and really having spent all of my ministries in apostle schools, I think I can speak to, you know, how it all has come together for me. And, you know, when I look at our schools and I think about my experience as an as a student at Sacred Heart Academy over 40 years ago, and now having been in our schools, there is something unique and different about them. And I think for living the charism today, our schools live it by having those people feel a sense of belonging, feeling a sense of at-homeness. Hopefully everyone is welcomed in our schools. We celebrate our differences, you know, so that to me is what living out the charism means, you know, living out our life as apostles, our call as apostles in the context of a school means to be warm, to be friendly, to be have a sense of a family spirit. I think those who are familiar with our schools, and I mean, I'm just talking in the context of schools, but I think in any of our sisters and their ministries, anyone who usually speaks of apostles talks about how we are warm, kind of naturally, you know, and a sense of being at home, but also a sense of hospitality, you know. And I think about the practices, you know, we all celebrate the First Friday liturgies. We all see, you know, so many times I've told the Sacred Heart girls and the Carrizo girls, on First Friday, all of our Sacred Heart, all of our apostle missions throughout the world are having First Friday Mass. And that to me is something really special. You know, I dare say every apostle school throughout the world celebrates the enthronement. You know, I think we all now have curricula based on Claylia that we share with all of our girls and students, men and male and female. I would dare say mostly, if not all of our schools now have adoration. We all celebrate the 12 promises. You know, we all have special Sacred Heart prayers and songs. You know, the core in the building, special statues, pictures, quotes, you know, all of those things really are how we live it out. And I think when I went to Sacred Heart, I'd gone to Catholic schools and elementary school, and I loved my elementary school, and I had wonderful sisters, but there truly was something different about the apostles, you know, when I look back now, and that sense of hospitality. And I think the best example of that that I have is when I was at Sacred Heart, we were doing the enthronement, and I remember as a senior, Sister Joanna was at Sacred Heart at the time, and she kind of oversaw the liturgies, and she asked me and a group of some of my friends if we would like to prepare a banner for the altar. In those days, we made felt banners, you know, and so we did. We were so excited that she asked us to do this, and the banner said, the nearer we are to the heart of Christ, the closer we are to each other, and that quote, I love that quote. I loved it then, and I still love it. And that day after our liturgy, and we got to, when we went to the cafe at lunchtime, the sisters, in those days we had like 15 sisters on staff as faculty, they all had prepared sundaes for us, you know, and they all had all this ice cream, and you could go up and make your own sundae because we were celebrating the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, you know. So I think that too is such a part of who we are as apostles, the idea of making people feel at home. And, you know, food, you know, we don't do that, you know. And yet for us, it's just second nature, you know, and not just the sisters. Obviously, you know, there's only five of us here now at Sacred Heart. But I always say the bad news is we don't have as many sisters as we used to have. The good news is we have wonderful, dedicated lay people who, you know, have taken on the charism and who live it sometimes better than the apostles do, you know. So that to me, I think, is what the Mother Claylia, her notion of what it meant to live out, you know, she didn't use the word charism, but I use the word, we use the word charism, what it means to live out her charism in our schools, you know, to even with discipline, you know, our students, when they do something wrong here, and I know it's the same in all of our schools, we don't go and announce it to everybody. And sometimes our teachers get mad because we don't go down to the faculty room and tell them what's going on. You know, here's Sister Kathleen, she's the principal, that's her role here, and she takes care of it and moves on. You know, so it's a sense of, and it doesn't mean weakness, it means calling them really to a higher standard. And sometimes it's more challenging because we want our students to understand that you have to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. We're all created. And so is everyone around us. So we all need to be respectful and caring. And we're all called to live a life of respect. So we want them doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Not because they're afraid of us, you know. And so our girls aren't afraid of us. We don't want them to be afraid of us. They're not afraid of the sisters at Carrizo, I know. And St. Rita's, we have sisters there. And I think, you know, they love the sisters. Our sisters always have a reputation, I think, of being very warm. So in my mind, that's really what our charism in education is all about. And probably in everything else that we do, in the sense of just sharing God's love, sharing everybody with respect, and hopefully helping them better understand how much the Sacred Heart loves them. So I hope that was helpful. If anybody has any questions or any comments.
I also really appreciate, Sister Sheila, like the different quotes that you put in to help emphasize, you know, not only you gave the points, but then to emphasize Mother Clelia's, like her way of thinking of that, especially when you talked about Jesus' school and how he accepted all people into that, and then how, like, that's where teachers can really learn what Sister Marianne was talking about, how to love people by learning from that school of Jesus and how he taught not only his disciples but everyone who would listen to him how to love people, and especially to point out their unique gifts and talents. So I really appreciate that.
Great, your thank presence. You. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Well, thank you.
It was a good exercise for me too, just to remind me, you know, mm-hmm. what we're all called to.
Mm-hmm. And a special thank you to you, Sister Sheila, because you could tell that this is the fruit of many, many years of prayer. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that your research has been guided by the Holy Spirit and your experience, but I think also especially by Blessed Clelia herself. So thank you for sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.